Certainly it's good to see everyone here this evening. Very much appreciate the fact that Mo took the announcements for me, and I think there's one announcement that he did forget to mention because I forgot to tell him about it, but Sue and Kellyanne and Colleen will be traveling also next week. They're going to be in the St. Louis area. But it certainly is good to have you here, and you're just our welcome guest, particularly those of you that are visiting with us. Very much appreciate Robert's reading of Acts chapter 5 and 6 and the song leading of Robert and for Mo in his prayer. We're going to be talking about something this evening that in some ways when we're out in the world talking to worldly people, it's a topic that's difficult to talk with folks, but it's a topic that is really a topic that we know a lot about, though we don't often study it. What we're going to be talking about this evening is the very works that I do bear witness of me. And in this, we're going to be looking at some background, the confirmation of the things that we'll be talking about, some of the reasons that we want to believe in the miracles of Jesus, and that's really the topic, the miracles of Jesus, and then we'll draw some concluding remarks from those things that we'll be talking about. Well, the very works that I do bear witness of me were told in John chapter 10 and verse 25. And if you think about it for a moment, the Bible begins with the miracle of creation, Genesis chapter 1. And it concludes in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20 with a reminder of the miraculous second coming of Christ. And like polka dots on a Dalmatian, wondrous miracles wrought by God and His messengers spatter the biblical text from Genesis to the book of Revelation. God created the universe out of nothing in Genesis chapter 1. And centuries later, He flooded the entire earth with water, Genesis chapter 7. He sent 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, and we're told about this in Exodus chapter 7 through chapter 12. He parted the Red Sea in Exodus 14. And He caused water to come from a rock twice during Israel's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Exodus 17 and Numbers 20. God healed a leper in 2 Kings in chapter 5. He raised many from the dead, 1 Kings 17 and Matthew 27 and 52 and 53. And on two separate and different occasions, He translated man from earth to heaven so that they never knew death. Hebrews 11 and verse 5 tells us about Enoch. And in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, about Elijah. Even the Bible itself is the result of the miracle of God's supernaturally guiding Bible writers in what they wrote. Rather than being the result of man's genius, the Bible claims to be God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. According to the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, 2 Peter 1, 21, prophecy never had its origin in the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. From Revelation to inspiration, from God's creation to Jesus' incarnation, miraculous, supernatural explanations lay at the heart of numerous biblical and therefore historical events. Not all, however, that witnessed Jesus' miracles firsthand were persuaded that He was the promised Messiah. Remember in Mark chapter 3 and verse 22. They said he was from Beelzebub. Well, why? Why is it that so many people in this world doubt miracles existed? Why is it? Some people adamantly claim that any type of miracle is absolutely impossible. Well, why do they say no to miracles? Well, there are many reasons, but let me suggest that perhaps the most significant is that they simply do not believe that God exists. And if he does exist, he doesn't interfere in the natural world. And this all comes about from an English chap, Charles Darwin, that conceived the concept of evolution. That is, that over billions of years, through natural processes, the universe was created. And out of that, through this primordial ooze, animal life evolved until finally we evolved as an offshoot of the non-human primates. And once you buy into this concept, you can't believe in miracles, because you believe that nothing exists outside of nature. Well, since a miracle is an extraordinary event that demands a supernatural basis, no such events could occur in a world where only natural forces operate. Once a person denies God and the miracle of creation, then they're basically forced to deny that miracles of any kind can occur. But we as Christians believe in miracles because we believe that God exists, and that the Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible reports from Genesis to Revelation many of God's miracles. The atheist rejects miracles because they do not believe in a higher supernatural being. Well, if God does not exist or is unwilling to intervene in his creation, then miracles cannot occur. But God does exist, and as such, miracles are not only possible, but they're probable. And as we look at Scripture, we find that God has intervened through natural or supernatural acts to accomplish his purpose from the very beginning of his creation. Miraculous confirmation. God has revealed messages to mankind since the world began. By the mouth of his holy prophets, we're told in Luke 1 and verse 70, and Luke 11 and verse 49 through 51, in Acts chapter 3 and 21. By the mouth of his holy prophets, he has revealed messages to mankind since the beginning of time. God has worked miracles through his prophets for the purpose of defining his divine will. Think back with me to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Moses is able to turn his staff into a snake and water into blood. Why? So that the Israelites would believe his message. Elijah in 1 Kings 18, beginning in verse 36. 1 Kings 18, beginning in verse 36. Elijah brought fire down from heaven to consume an altar on Mount Carmel, so that Israel might know that their God was the one true living God. Centuries later, miracles were used to confirm the preaching of the gospel by the apostles. Mark chapter 16 and verse 20 says, working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Hebrews 2 and verse 3, God bore witness with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Throughout the Bible, God's spokesmen have worked miracles in order to validate their divine message. In view, I think, of the fact that miracles have served as confirmation of God's revelation since time began, it should be no surprise to us then that when the fullness of time had come, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, and the promised Messiah, the Son of God, came to earth for the purpose of saving the world from sin, Luke 19 and verse 10, that he would confirm his identity and his message by performing miracles. In Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, were foretold of a time when this would happen. And in Matthew 11, 4 and 5, and Mark 7 and verse 37, remember when John sent his disciples to see Jesus? And Jesus sent them back to John with the following message: go and tell John the things which you have heard and seen, the works and the deeds, the miracles that Jesus has done. And this is that fulfillment of the coming one of Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 4. Throughout the use of miracles, they really had differences in the purpose for the miracles being performed. In the case of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah, they performed miracles to confirm that they were from God so that the people of Israel would understand that they were from God. The apostles worked miracles to confirm their message that Jesus was the Son of God. And Jesus performed miracles, John 10, 25, 30, 37, and 38, to prove both the truthfulness of his message and his divine nature. They were done to bear witness that he was in fact the Son of God. John 5, 36, Acts 2, 22, and John 20, 30. And 31. Were reasons to believe in the miracles of Jesus? Countless thousands of people witnessed these miracles. And you think I'm exaggerating when I say countless thousands. But we know of two cases where 5,000 and 4,000 witnessed a miracle. So countless thousands witnessed miracles. The miracles of Jesus. In the presence of many eyewitnesses, Jesus gave sight to the blind, healed lepers, fed thousands with a handful of food, and made lame to walk. In John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, at the wedding feast in Cana, they ran short, and Jesus turned water into wine. In Mark 1, 23 and 28, he performed miracles in the Jewish synagogue where countless contemporaries gathered to study scriptures on the Sabbath. In John chapter 5 and verse 3, John 5 and 3, he healed a sick man at the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem where a great multitude of sick people had congregated. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 17, he healed a paralytic in Capernaum in a house that was full, so full of Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem so full that they had to cut a hole in the roof to lower him down. And in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14, he saw great multitudes moved with compassion, or great multitudes saw Jesus moved with compassion, and as a result, he healed their sick. And then in Matthew chapter 14, 15 through 21, this is the feeding of 5,000 men, plus women and children. And in Matthew 15, 32 and 39, he fed 4,000 men besides women and children. Well, the enemies of Christ attested to his work. Many of his enemies rejected him, but they did not, even though they rejected him, they did not deny that he worked miracles. In John 11 and 47, they said, "For this man works many signs." And in Luke 23 and verse 28, even King Herod, having heard about the miracles that Jesus had wrought, wanted him to come and appear before him so that he could see some of these signs. And in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24, the Pharisees did not deny Jesus performed miracles, but they said the source of his power was not from God, but was from Beelzebub. And in Luke chapter 13, 10 through 17, they didn't deny that he healed on the Sabbath. They just scolded him for healing on the Sabbath. And in John chapter 9 and verse 7, I think the other one I said, scolding Jesus for healing, was in Luke 13, 10 and 17. And John 9, 7, remember that story in chapter 9 of John? He put the, makes dirt and clay with his spittle and put it onto the blind man's eye who had been blind from birth. And he could see straight away. And the leaders questioned him and questioned him and questioned him. And then brought his parents in and brought him back. And they just could not deny that Jesus had healed this man. Not only did his enemies not deny his miraculous works, but some even came to their senses and joined Jesus. In John chapter 3 and verse 2, one of his enemies, Nicodemus, joined with him. And in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7 that we just had read to us, a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. They didn't deny it. And even some joined with him. Such positive testimony from hostile witness is the weightiest type of evidence that any lawyer can bring into a courtroom. Someone that doesn't want to agree. Someone who does not want to believe, and yet they cannot deny it. Such reaction from Jesus' enemies are extremely noteworthy in a discussion on the miracles of Christ. Well, there were multiple attestations of the writers. The case is strengthened by the fact that his supernatural works were recorded by multiple independent writers. We just have to look at scriptures. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8 wrote about the miracles of Jesus. Independent, and yet confirming one another. And in one case, in the feeding of the 5,000, it's recorded in all four of the Gospels. Well, it's just not in Scripture that we find this attestation of the writing, but outside of Scripture. Josephus says, talking about Jesus, "One who was a doer of wonderful works, and who drew over to him many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. And in a Babylonian Talmud, which is a recording of Jewish records, we found on the eve of the Passover, Jesus was hanged. For 40 days before the execution took place, a herald went forth and cried, "He is going forth to be stoned because he has practiced sorcery." They wouldn't call it miracles or signs or wonders. They called it sorcery, and he enticed Israel to apostasy. The biblical writers reported facts, not fairy tales. The writer of the Bible insisted that the information that they wrote about Jesus and his miracle and his miracles was accurate and factual. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:16, "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were what? We were eyewitnesses of his majesty," which includes the miracles that he performed. And John tells us in 1 John 1, verses 1 and 3, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes." We've seen it with our eyes, John tells us. "What we beheld, our hands handled, concerning the word of life, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." John said, we have seen it with our own eyes. We've held it in our hands. We've heard it. We have been witnesses of these miracles. These are not fables that these men were talking about, but these are facts. And Luke tells us in his gospel, and we'll see in a moment, in the book of Acts, in Luke chapter 1, 1 through 4, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word have handed them down to us, it seems fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you might know the exact truth about the things that you have been taught." And then he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, "To these he also presented himself alive, after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God." This is after his resurrection. They saw him. They heard him. They knew. These are facts, not myths or fairy tales. And then Paul sums it up, I think, for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. "And that he appeared to Cephas," or Peter, "then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remained until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as it were to me untimely, as it were to me one untimely born, he appeared to me also." More than 500 people saw Jesus after his resurrection. It's a fact. It's not a fairy tale or a myth. Jesus' signs were many and varied. More than a few miracles are recorded. And they were recorded not for wealth or political power, but that the world might be convinced that Jesus was sent by the Father to bring salvation to mankind. John 5, 36 John 10, 37 and 38. Remember in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4? He just touched the leper, and he was healed. And in John 4, 46 through 54, this ruler said his son was dying, and just with the word of his mouth, he said, "Go on home, your son's alive." And then in Luke 8, 43, 48, the woman that was hemorrhaging, she just touched his garment, and she was healed. And in Mark 3, 10, all they wanted to do was just press against him, and they were healed. So his signs were many and varied. He had power over sick and afflicted. And I've just listed for you all of those examples where he did something that was related to the sick and afflicted. The royal officer's son, Peter's mother-in-law, the leper, the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, the man with the withered arm, the paralyzed centurion servant, the hemorrhagic woman, two blind men, a deaf and a mute man, the blind man outside of Bethesda, 10 leopards, the man born blind, the crippled woman, the man with dropsy, two blind men near Jericho, and then the last one that I like, remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that impetuous Peter took off the ear, and Jesus just gently put it back on. And how many people were there that saw that miracle as well? And then Jesus is with power over the sick and the afflicted. He had power over nature. And think about that. He turned water to wine. The first catch of fish. The calming of the turbulent storm. The feeding of 5,000. The walking on water. The feeding of 4,000. The money in the fish's mouth. How did that happen? Sleight of hand? How did he know where the coin was? How did he know where the fish was? How did he know that was the fish that would be caught? Not a fairy tale, but facts. And then the second catch of fish. The power over the sick, power over nature, then power over demons. And there are a number of examples where Jesus cast out demons. The man in the synagogue at Capernaum, the mute demon-possessed man, Mary Magdalene. Think about this for a moment. The Da Vinci Code. This is Jesus' wife, a demon-possessed woman. Now that is a fairy tale. These are facts. Two men at Gardia, the blind mute, the Syno-Phoenician daughter, and the epileptic, demon-possessed individual, power over the sick and the afflicted, over nature, over demons, and over death. The widow's son, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, and his own resurrection. If I've counted correctly, the Gospels record 37 specific supernatural acts that Jesus performed. And it doesn't include his virgin birth and the transfiguration or the multiple times that he was just able to look into the minds of people and respond to them, not because he got outside help, but because he could look into their minds and their hearts. And if you do that, the number is going to reach upwards to 50. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, John 20, 30, and 31. If all his miracles were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written, John 21 25. The reasons to believe Jesus' miracle are countless, thousands of witnesses. The enemies of Christ attested to his works, multiple attestations of the writers. The Bible writers reported facts and not fairy tales. Jesus' signs were many and varied, and Jesus worked wonders that are not being duplicated today. Neither the modern faith healer, or for that matter, the 21st century scientist that can decipher the genetic code and do wonderful biomedical things and wonderful things to help us live better lives, none of these can duplicate the miracles that Jesus worked while on earth 2,000 years ago. Jesus went about healing every sickness and every disease, Matthew 9:35. He didn't just heal those that had marginally non-difficult problems, but he healed every sickness and every disease. His miraculous wonders knew no limitation. Jesus could cure anything. Luke records how Jesus could restore a shriveled hand in the midst of his enemies, Luke 6:6-10. The healing of many of their blindnesses, Luke 7:21, including one born blind, John 9:1-7. And he even raised the dead by calling out to them, John 11:43. Well, the scriptures record that Jesus performed miracles throughout his ministry to provide sufficient proof of his divine message and his divine nature. Countless thousands witnessed his miracles. They were performed throughout his ministry, and they were performed in front of people, before people. And the miracles that Jesus performed are unlike the alleged wonders worked by others in the past or present. Even Jesus' enemies attested to the wonders that he worked. It's recorded by multiple independent writers who were dedicated to reporting facts. And Jesus worked miracles so the world may know that Jesus and God are one, John 10:30-38, and that the Father sent him to earth to save mankind from sin, John 5:36. John 20:30-31 was written so that you and I might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Think about what we've been given in God's Word. We've been given miracle after miracle from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, spattered throughout the pages of Scripture, miracle after miracle. But the most important of those miracles was the resurrection Jesus Christ from the dead. He came here so that we might have forgiveness of our sins. And he took our sins with him to Calvary, where he died and was buried and then was raised. And after he was raised, he spent 40 days, and was seen by more than 500 people. He's real. He's our Savior. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ and you're willing to repent of your sins, as we're told to do, to confess his name, and to be baptized and walk in newness of life, we'd ask you to stand now and come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected. Or if you've fallen away and there's any way that we can help you, come now and let us hold your hand as we go to God in prayer.
Well, where are you?